I'm already glad I came to church. Man alive, what a great day. Well, this should have been last Sunday, you know. I've been preaching a series, if you've not noticed. They're loose, but they're talking about focusing on Jesus this coming year. So we missed a Sunday, so this is now I'm in February, but I'm finishing up January, so I don't know what that means, but just so you know. Speaking of knowing, that's the sermon title. We can't know unless we know Him. We can't know unless we know Him. Now, 2 weeks I talked about focusing as in with our eyesight, what we focus on. Last week we talked about listening, paying attention to what we hear. Today I want to talk about intellect, wisdom, where it comes from, how it's used to help us in our spiritual walk and focus on Jesus. So that's been the theme for this past month, looking ahead into the future of 2024 and all that God has for the church in these days. So I want to begin this morning by reading 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 6 through 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we're going to read verses 6 through 12. However, we speak wisdom. Remember, that's one of our thoughts for today, knowledge and wisdom, among those who are mature. Now, we had perfection this morning. We talked about perfection. There is a spiritual perfection that is not just maturity as in age. So you can be a child in the faith and be an older person, or you can be a very young person and be very mature in your faith. See what I'm saying? So it's not just age here, it's spiritual maturity. Yet, not the wisdom of this age, nor the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Now, I'm going to talk about that word mystery too. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom of God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. So we talked about eyesight, but all eyes have not seen. Then we talked about hearing, but all ears have not heard. So today, I get amazed myself when I'm reading and studying. God will lay a text on my heart, and then when I read it, I go, man, God, that's so good. I tell God how good His Word is, because it amazes me still. I've been studying it for a long time, and I'm still amazed at how all this got put together, not in a moment, but as I was working on these sermons, and they all just kept making sense to me. And see, the bad part then is I have to come and in the human try to make it understandable to you. So if there's a failure in it, it's on me, not God. So let's pray. Father God, bless Your Word to us this morning. Lord, if people do not hear another thing I say, if they just would sit here and read 1 Corinthians chapter 2 over and over, they're going to get a lot out of this day. We bless You and honor You for who You are today. And I thank You for Your Word, which is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We hide Your Word in our hearts, and it helps us not commit sins against You, because our hearts, not the organ pumping blood, but our innermost being, our hearts are stayed on You. Help us with that today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to start here by saying, when I say to know, we can't know unless we know Him. So I'm talking about spiritual understanding now. I've said that at least twice now. We're talking about spiritual wisdom. So you can know 2 plus 2 equals 4, and that does not define the Trinity. You know what I'm saying? See, the spiritual things, I'm not talking about human knowledge or human wisdom. What man calls wisdom is some sort of application of their knowledge. But Paul addresses that here, and he just flat out says, I'm not talking about knowledge and wisdom in this world. I'm talking about something only God does. So that's what we're talking about today. No punchline at the end. It's right here in the front of us. So let's go with this. God is not about confusion. I am amazed at how many people read the Bible and say it confuses them. That is really not possible. To be totally honest, if you know him. See the caveat? See the little disclaimer in there? There's a great big stinking if. If you know him, he will make all things known to you that you can handle. I'm going to say that later, so I won't say that right here. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 14:33 that God is not the author of confusion. God is not the author of confusion. So he would not give us a word that causes confusion. His word does not cause confusion. Men cause confusion. Interpretations. The English language, I don't know how it translates in other, but I was reading, well, I started off listening to, but I was reading an article talking about the errors in the Bible. And the guy that I was reading said, he said to the man that told him that, well, give me an example of one. Give me an error in the Bible. Well, there's lots of them. He said, well, don't just go from 10, just cut me down to about 3. Well, I can't name one right off. Really? I got to be real careful here. I believe that the Word of God is inerrant in its original. You say, well, that just blew it for me. I don't do Hebrew or Greek very well. See, and that's, so then we have trusted men to translate those words into, whether it be English, you know, and I ain't making fun of anybody who's King James only. I memorized almost every verse. Well, I memorized it in King James. But when I hear people, I had a friend, he went to church in another town. He left that church because their pastor left, and the board met, and they said, until we get a new leader, we've got to protect the church from people coming in here with new and strange ideas. And the way they addressed that was, the church board stood in the foyer, and if somebody came to church that they didn't know, they'd say, what kind of Bible is that you have there? And if it wasn't King James, they said, now you're welcome to worship here, but we need you to go put that Bible back in your car and leave it there. They said the only Bible that was inerrant was the King James version of the Bible. Well, I can take you to a couple of words that I believe were mistranslated. That has nothing to do with the inerrancy of Scripture. That has to do with men at the time doing their best. Does that make sense to you? There are no errors in the Bible. It's the Word of God. People translate it differently or interpret those words differently. I'm going to tell you what. If you get hung up on that, just read the part you can understand and you'll get plenty. That was a good place to say amen. Just read the parts that are crystal clear and you'll find everything you need to know about you being a sinner, Jesus being a Savior, the price of sin being a penalty you cannot pay even with your own death, and that Jesus paid that debt, set you free. And if you're on your way to heaven this morning, you really are not going to sit down and worry too much about the errors in the Bible. Amen. Go hunting. Give me a call. I'm done. That was called a rant. That wasn't even a rabbit chase. That was just a little rant right there. Because it blows my mind. And people say, I'm confused. God is not the author of confusion. Now I'm back to my sermon. Whew. The things that confuse the world And do not confuse those who have spiritual eyes to see and spiritual understanding. We take more time to dwell on spiritual things, thus we gain wisdom. Spiritual knowledge. See, I think it's good to read the Bible and to sometimes not just read it like a novel, like seeing, nothing wrong with reading through the Bible in a year. Nothing wrong with that at all. But if you're hurrying to so you can get it all read, once in a while, just sit down and take a verse and park and take that verse apart a little bit and say, wow, I did that with this scripture this week, and this sermon was already done because it was supposed to be for the week before. But I just went back and read it again and was blown away by the Word of God again. Wow. So here's our foundational truth for this sermon. Proverbs 1:7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. See, it starts with spiritual knowledge. And then it says, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. That's what comes from knowledge. You learn, you study. And I remember this was when we lived in Mississippi, and we had a Sunday school teacher that was a girl and not very old. She was just out of high school probably. And they asked her to teach, and that particular class age had a bunch of boys in it that were unruly. So moi was sent in simply to be the Terminator. You know, I had one eye that would turn red and brrr. Well, Gwen, I think. We threw her in the lake one time and she was wearing a watch. That didn't go well. We were all young, actually. We were all pretty young. But she gets this brilliant idea to challenge these young preteens to memorize the books of the Bible in order. And I'm sitting there being the Terminator, you know, just all I do is say, hey, that's all my job was. And then I thought, oh, geez, they're going to learn the books of the Bible, and I don't know the books of the Bible in order. So guess what I did? I memorized the books of the Bible in order. It's come in handy over the years. Wow. And I did it just so I wouldn't look bad to a bunch of 12-year-olds. It was knowledge, not wisdom. See? It was knowledge, but over time, that knowledge, I have a degree in Bible, okay? I have a degree, a 4-year degree in Bible. That was my major. What'd you major in? Bible. That's what you go to Bible college for. So we're going down the road one day, and my wife had her notes, and she said, run me through the history of the Old Testament on the way to Centerville. That's a 10-minute ride. She said, you don't have to tell me every day. Just kind of line the books up. I got to get this in my mind right. I can do that. And I could give you a lot of dates, not so much anymore. But my knowledge of the Bible turned into wisdom, spiritual wisdom, of understanding not just the books that I memorized, and they're not in order, you know, chronologically. They're placed kind of strangely, so you got all these minor prophets that you got to go back and put them where they go. And that's what I was doing with her. Very quickly, but you got to start somewhere. That's knowledge. That isn't confusion. The more you learn, the more you grasp, the more you understand, and the more the Spirit of God can apply your knowledge and turn it into wisdom. And guess what? You're going to come up against sometime some things that you say, I don't know that I know the answer to that. And sometimes there isn't an answer to that. The answer is, He's God, and we're not. And you have to kind of leave it right there because you'll go nuts trying to get an answer to something that has no answer, humanly speaking. Wow. So, you feel confused about a spiritual question? That's okay. Being confused about a question is just saying, I don't know the answer. It's not saying there isn't an answer. It's not saying the Word of God isn't complete. I don't want to make fun of the Amish, but I thought about this earlier. Is there anything in the Bible you read about not driving cars? There is a verse in the Bible that says in the last days men will rush to and fro across the face of the earth. So I believe in flying. I tried it in cars. I was pretty famous when I was young. I had a 1975 Ford Thunderbird with a 460 four-barrel, 460 cubic inch displacement, four-barrel carburetor, and I could go from my house in Tennessee to her house in southern Mississippi in 4.5 hours. That meant going through Memphis, Tennessee, and Jackson, Mississippi, at around 100 miles an hour. Basically, about 100 all the way. Did you know that on a 1975 Ford Thunderbird, if you set the cruise and held down on the set Excel button, it would stop at 93 miles an hour? Did you know that? That's as fast as they thought cruise control ought to take you. So that's where I set it. And then I would use the foot feed when I wanted to go a little faster. Am I telling the truth, baby? She wasn't always with me because sometimes I was going to see her. But if you don't even know what a 75 Thunderbird was, it was like a luxury car, and it had power seats that I could raise all the way up, tilt all the way back, tilt the wheel down till it touched my legs, and I'd go to sleep with the cruise set at 93. And I'm going down Interstate 55 going 93 miles an hour, sound asleep to the world. And I'm alive. No reason whatsoever I should be alive. But you know what God wanted in 1976 when that was going on? He wanted me to preach in Pella, Iowa in 2024 and 23. And the only way he could do it was keep me alive. Back then, I've woke up and had to grasp, am I leaning this way or this way? Well, that would tell you which side I went off. And I would never even touch the cruise. I'd just steer it back up on the interstate, check to be sure nothing was right there, and barrel back on that road. I was a lunatic when I was 18 years old. I didn't care. I told people I carried a flashlight because I didn't care if the sun didn't come up. I was arrogant, dumber than a post. I met her. She lost her mind, and I fell in love. Fell in love with Jesus the same week. It worked out really good. We've all kind of been together since, and I'm not telling y'all that. God is good. There's no confusion in that. He had a plan. Now, I'm not going to tell you people don't blow the plan. I'm not going to tell you people don't have wrecks and don't do what God wanted them to do. But I believe His hand of protection, I call it anointing because I was going to be a preacher. I believe I got the anointing way before I got the call. Actually, I got the call before I did it. But I believe God had His hand on my life way back then when I was really, 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 really testing Him to preserve me. Wow. Now, no confusion, okay? No confusion. God is good. Point two, wisdom is wrapped in a mystery. Now, this sounds like I'm confused, right? Sounds like a contradiction. The Bible's full of contradictions. No, it isn't. This isn't one. God is not the author of confusion, but this mystery is wrapped in, or excuse me, this wisdom is wrapped in a mystery. Verse 7 and 8. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom of God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. You cannot know unless you know Him. Well, they didn't know. He said none of the rulers, the Jewish rulers, knew. If they had known, they would not have killed the Lord of glory. Paul's saying that to the church. He's saying, look, They didn't know. And they had knowledge of God, but they rejected it. We've been in Romans, and it's full of that, how the Jews rejected God. The first verse in chapter 11 this morning we studied, has God therefore cast away his people? Certainly not. Certainly not. God isn't the forsaker. God isn't the promise breaker. He's the promise keeper. But men blow it. And the Jews blew it right here. That's what Paul was saying. So, the mystery, now we define mystery as like a riddle or there's another word there. It's like anything that's supposed to tell you, you have to figure it out on your own. A mystery, a riddle. So, an enigma. That was that word I was trying to think of. I am not smart enough to use the word enigma, so I won't use it again. I'll go back to riddle. A riddle says if you're smart enough to figure this out, you win the prize, whatever that is. So we say mystery is a hidden thing that we can't know. Well, it's only hidden until somebody tells you. Paul told them. The mystery was over. The mystery was in the Old Testament. And it wasn't a mystery at all. They just didn't get it. It was there. He said if they had only known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Now, and I put this in bold so I would be sure I said this. Let's say the Jewish leaders, when Jesus came, remember Nicodemus came by night, we know you're sent from God, for no one can do these works that you do unless God sent him. Well, okay, then figure that out. See, that was men refusing to see what they were seeing or hear what they were hearing. They refused. But let's say Nicodemus talked to Jesus. Jesus said, you must be born again. And Nicodemus said, so are you saying that we have to accept you as the Messiah in order to be saved, that law-keeping won't get it? And Jesus said, that's exactly what I'm saying. And Nicodemus said, okay, I'm in. I accept you as Savior. As the Savior, we say Messiah. He goes back, meets with the Sanhedrin, convinces the high priest, all the Sanhedrin, all the Pharisees and the scribes and the other group. They all accept Jesus. Jesus comes in on the Palm Sunday. And instead of them standing out there saying, tell your disciples to be quiet, they're laying palm branches down, going, the Messiah's here, the Messiah's here. You say, would that have changed history? No, you know what? The Romans would have killed him anyway. The Romans would have killed him anyway because he was declaring himself to be a king, which Pilate said, are you a king then? He said, yes, I am. He wouldn't even tell the Jews. They were supposed to know, but they did not know because they would not know. So he tells Pilate, yep, I'm a king, but don't worry, my army will not attack. My kingdom's not of this world. If it were, you would already be dead. And Pilate shook, and his wife shook, and his wife sent him a note. Y'all know this, right? His wife sent him a note and said, have nothing to do with that just man. Let him go. That's what she was saying to him. Pilate couldn't. He was caught between a rock and a hard place. The Jews, who could have known and would not, were tying the hands of a Roman who did not know and could not. Would not, because Jesus told him plainly too. So the Jews could have said, this is our Messiah, and the Romans would have killed him, because guess what? Just accepting Jesus for who he was wouldn't pay the price for sins. He had to die. So his shed blood would cover our sins. It was going to happen no matter what. But the Jews did not have to be a party to it. It wasn't a mystery. It was a lack of wisdom. It was not a lack of knowledge. They knew the Messiah was coming. You remember when he was born? The wise men showed up from the east. They showed up in Jerusalem. Where is he who is born King of the Jews? Set the world on fire, man. They all went, what? Born King of the Jews? How do you even know such terminology? Herod calls them privately and says, what are you talking about, this King of the Jews, his title? And they said, well, we were taught that there would be a sign that appeared, and when it did, to follow it, and it would mean the Messiah of the world had come, and it's here. We lost it just outside of Jerusalem. The city lights, you know, got too bright and we can't see it. That probably wasn't it. So he called the high priest in, and he said, these men are telling me that the King of the Jews has been born. Where would that happen according to your books? And they said, oh, the Messiah, he's going to be born in Bethlehem. Who went to Bethlehem? Chief priest? No. Pharisees? No. Sadducees, that group I couldn't remember a while ago. The Sadducees, they didn't go. The scribes didn't go. Herod didn't even go, because he didn't believe any of that. So he sent the wise men and said, if you do in fact find him, bring me word and then I'll go down and worship the king. They had to know when he said those words, he was lying through his teeth. He wanted to kill him. The word in Micah chapter 5 and verse 2 said, thou Bethlehem, although you are least among the tribes of Israel, yet out of you will come one who will be the ruler of the world. And when they came, people from far, far away show up and say, it's happened. And they said, yep, Bethlehem. They had the knowledge, but no wisdom at all. Do you see what I'm saying? I don't care this morning if you can memorize all the books of the Bible. It's nice. It's fun. You win trivia stuff. You Bible drills, because you know where the books are. Pretty, just put your finger there and go. That's knowledge, but it's not wisdom. So let's look at point three. The Holy Spirit reveals the mystery. Now, can you put the sermon title back up? Is that hard or easy? We can't know unless we know him. How many of you thought him was Jesus? Be honest. Come on. Jesus is almost always the answer. Y'all, I know y'all have heard this. I've probably told it here. Sunday school class, Sunday school teacher's telling them something about, she was looking out in her backyard and she saw this little creature with a bushy tail and it was running up and down a tree. And she said, what do you call that? Nobody would answer. This one little boy, little Johnny, who was just sitting there squirming. She said, Johnny, what's that animal called? He said, it sounds like a squirrel, but it seems like the answer is always Jesus. See, it ought to be Jesus. Him, capital H. But it's not. It's the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus went to sit at the right hand of the Father. And in John 14 and 16 both, he tells us that when he, not it, may the force be with you, nanu, nanu. No. Thank y'all for getting that. No. It's not a supernatural energy field that protects. No. It's a person. The third person of the triune Godhead. I said it the first. You can know 2 + 2 = 4 and not be able to explain the Trinity. Man, I'm not sure I can explain the Trinity today. But the Trinity is the three persons of the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. God, the Holy Spirit, whom Jesus said, it's better for you if I go away, because if I go, he will come, and he will teach you all things. See, that's what we want. We want the Holy Spirit to come and do his work. So, the him is the Holy Spirit, and the know is knowing what is in the Word of God and letting him teach us more fully. So we move from knowledge to wisdom. All right, here's the verse 12. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, little s, but the spirit who is from God, capital S, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. No confusion, no mystery, freely given, but clarified through the Holy Spirit. And that's what we need today. That's what we need. Now, I'm going to read a whole paragraph because I highlighted it because I want you to get this. It's very simple, but it is not simplistic. It's complicated if you don't know. It's impossible if you don't know. The Holy Spirit will reveal to you as much truth as you will allow Him to. Is that okay? Why doesn't God just give us all at once? Boom! You and I can't. Yeah, well, I can't remember. It was. I never saw the movie anyway, but Tom Cruise was a lawyer, and I don't know what Jack Nicholson did, but he had a horrible look anyhow. And Tom Cruise said, "I want the truth." And he said, "You can't handle the truth." And his mouth was all snarled up. Y'all remember that? I never saw that movie, but I saw that commercial, and all I could say was, I put truth as being the Bible. And I just was seeing this mean guy. I thought he was the devil. I think he played the devil in a couple of movies. You can't handle the truth. Well, you can't handle the truth unless you know Him. You cannot handle the truth unless you know the Holy Spirit who keeps that bad guy away from you. Oh, that I just messed up my own paragraph. I need to start over. The Holy Spirit will reveal to you as much truth as you will allow Him to. He does not force spiritual truth onto us. He really can't, because we cannot receive it. Why do you think Jesus would have said, having eyes they do not see, because they didn't want to see Jesus? If seeing Jesus meant naming Him the Messiah, then they just put up the blinders and went on. So look at verse 12 again. Oh, excuse me. It was verse 8 again. Which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known. See, not just knowledge. They had the knowledge of the Messiah. Had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. What they didn't have was the Holy Spirit. Others didn't either. Nobody had the Holy Spirit fully until after the crucifixion. But here, the Holy Spirit was still speaking, and they were rejecting. Huge, huge, important. Blindness and ignorance was the choice of the Jewish leaders. And if you don't know Jesus today, that blindness is your choice. If you've been in this church three times, you've heard enough. Man, you heard enough songs this morning. You heard enough singing songs with great messages to say, wow, something's going on. I didn't get to tell them in Sunday school. I had a target last week. I had a target on a guy's back. We went out to eat on purpose to meet our family, but also to meet the owner of that restaurant. He wasn't there. He owns the place, and he was not there. And I wanted to talk to him because the week before that, he was at a funeral where I was and where a young man got saved. And I was going to go up to him and say, because I don't think he knows Jesus. And I had my little speech ready. Hey, I was so good to see you down at our church in Moravia. What did you think of that? I was ready. And then he wasn't there. I think the devil was protecting him for himself. The devil wants him in hell. Jesus, the Holy Spirit, wants him in heaven. So he's my target right now. You got a target? You got somebody you're aiming at? That's what I was talking about earlier. This church will grow to the degree that you get a target on somebody and get after them, because that's what we're supposed to do anyway. Not to grow the church. That's a sideline. We're supposed to grow the kingdom of God. So, to know the deep things of God. Verse 10. Did we read that one? But God has revealed the deep things to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. Don't you want to know the deep things? Man, who wants to go swimming and you get there in this beautiful pool, gorgeous pool, and you step in and it's only ankle deep? You look down, you go, where's the deeper part? And you walk and it just sloshes and the whole entire pool is ankle deep. And you go, wait a minute, I came to swim. Oh, where is it back there? It's one of those prophets. I'll say Elisha. I'm making that part up. But he had a vision and he saw the door of the temple, and coming out from under the door was water. There's a river running down the middle of the street. And he said the water was about ankle deep. So I measured out 1,000 furlongs and I walked into that water, and man, it was knee deep. Wow, that's pretty cool. This river's getting bigger on its own. So I measured another 1,000 furlongs and I walked out, and now it's waist deep and it's flowing hard. And I was like, wow, I can barely stand in this water. And I measured another 1,000 and I walked and I realized it's over my head. So I dove in, and I let the current carry me where it would. That's what God wants from you and me. He does not want us in the shallow end. We're talking about the deeper things of God. He doesn't want us in knee deep or waist deep, where if your feet are touching the bottom, you think you're in charge. Dive in the deep end and trust God. He'll take you to good places. You know what that requires? This is going to be the last official time I say this. Focus on Jesus more in 2024. Go deeper. We sang it last week, did we not? Deeper, deeper. We sang it last week. I'm like, whoa, wrong week for my sermon, but right week for that song. Crazy. Stand with me this morning. Do you know Him? I don't mean do you know about Him. Do you know Jesus? Do you know His Holy Spirit abides in your heart right now? You can. It's all superficial and shallow until you know that. Because then you're not thinking your own thoughts. You're thinking His thoughts. Wow. Lord, You're so good. You bless us in so many ways. I got blessed writing this sermon. I got blessed reading it over to myself. Lord, Your Word is so good. And people who do not want it to be true say they find all these problems and confusion and all these issues with the Word of God. And Lord, the Word of God is quick. It's Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and of spirit, of bone and of marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the very intentions of the heart. The Word of God. You examine us with Your Word, not us examining Your Word. Lord, help us get it right this morning. Let us take away from this place today that the knowledge and wisdom of God is superior to and far above the wisdom and knowledge of this world. We can know a lot of information. In a phone, we have knowledge at our fingertips, but not wisdom. Lord, would You help us differentiate today the difference and to choose the spiritual things. Go with us now as we leave this place. Lord, we're now in February. January's already gone. So Lord, for the next 11 months, let us focus more on You, less on the world, less even on the things that I might like to focus on a little bit. Lord, I believe You'll guide us into all truth, and that's what we need today. So go with us now, we pray, in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. God bless you.